Welcome to the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Callie Klug, and I am a yoga teacher and somatic practitioner in Southern California. Your Own Medicine podcast was really created with this idea and this intention of bringing knowledge to you to access the medicine within you and within your own body. So thank you for listening. Let's go. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Your Own Medicine podcast. So today it is a workshop recording with me and Abby Kurtz, who's a friend of mine and also a amazing women's intimacy coach. The whole area of like women's intimacy and sexual healing, it's really important. And also can be tricky because some practitioners are not super practiced in dealing with trauma. And so she's a practitioner that is trained in the ways of working with the body, which is slow and with care, and she's just amazing. So I'm really excited to share this workshop with her. If you would like to join us live, because every month I do a free workshop. I don't have one scheduled for May yet, but I will be putting that on the calendar shortly. And by the time this episode's out, it probably will be on the calendar. But I do them free every single month. So you can check it out in my stand store. There's always, you know, a workshop that you can register for free. You can join us live. You can ask questions. And yeah. They're really fun. And then afterwards, I post them on my YouTube and my podcast. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this and enjoy.
Okay. So welcome you guys to Expanding Your Body's Capacity for Pleasure. We're going to start with a grounding practice. So just kind of arrive in our bodies and start to cultivate some presence around this idea of what feels good in your body. So go ahead and take a minute or a moment and look around your space. And as you do that, look all the way over your right shoulder, all the way back to center, and then over your left. And as you do this, let your eyes wander around your space, and you can keep kind of, you know, orienting around, noticing what feels good in your body to look at. So maybe where do you feel a sense of opening, a softness happen, a sense of grounding? And then also noticing those things that maybe don't sit so well in your body. Could be a picture of a person, it could be a pet, Miss Daisy licking her little booty over here, it could be the way the light lands on a wall. And then eventually finding something that feels fairly neutral as well. And then start to notice if there's, actually, let's just first notice how our body's feeling today. So noticing what's happening in your body. And let's, for a moment, just pull our awareness away from the screen and really just notice what's happening as you allow your attention and awareness to settle. Noticing, first of all, any places that come forward with tension or discomfort, and maybe putting a hand on that part of you. And allowing the hand to meet the sensation. And if you feel like the sensation is like you're trying to keep it small, for a moment, just soften around the edges and notice what happens when you let it expand. And then maybe noticing a part of the body that feels good or neutral. Could be the legs, the soles of the feet. If you're being supported by a chair or something beneath you, a lot of times it feels really nice for the body to just feel supported. So noticing that. And then once again, blink the eyes open, looking at that thing that's fairly neutral in your space. And then maybe looking at whatever it was that felt really good in your nervous system. Taking a few breaths into that as you notice what part of your body resonates with whatever it is externally. Whatever part of your body you feel that opening or softening. And then, when you're ready, start to orient back towards the screen and noticing how it feels in your body to orient towards these faces. And then I'm going to share my screen, which is always a clunky process, so bear with me. Okay. So notice as I put this word on the screen, just notice what happens in your body when you see this word. So for those of you listening to the audio recording, the word says pleasure. So when you see the word pleasure or hear the word pleasure, what happens in your body? Just becoming curious. Does it feel expansive and exciting? Does it feel like you want to run away? Do you feel tension? Or do you feel a sense of disconnect? And everything is welcome here. All sensations we love. If you're open to it, I'd love to hear like what kind of experience you guys are having right now. Just bringing this word into your awareness. I know for myself, even after doing this work for like 3 years, the word still feels intimidating to me. Like I feel this, like when I see it, like a constriction. You can go ahead and put in the chat. Okay, I feel like my body wants to lean towards it, but also feels a little daunting at the same time. Oh, like a yo-yo. Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to put it. Push and pull, excitement and fear. Beautiful. Feel magnetized to it. Love. Yeah, that's a really great way to put it, Alexandra. Like it can feel like this push and pull. And we're gonna kind of go into why it might be like that today, but most of us have a kind of a complicated relationship with pleasure. And today we can even like reduce it to the idea of like if pleasure feels like too, just like what feels good in your body. That's what we're talking about today. Okay, so in case you don't know who I am, oh, that picture makes me feel really cool. Okay, my name's Callie. I'm a somatic facilitator and yoga teacher. My background is traditional yoga. I studied in the Himalayas of India, very traditional yoga. And then I went on to study more tantra and embodiment style yoga, which there's like a lot of dancing, a lot of breath practices. A lot of it has to do with like sexual healing, really like what we're talking about today in terms of connecting back to what feels good, and just pleasure in general. And then now I'm going really deep into somatic psychology and somatic experiencing, which is mostly the lens I teach through. My specific realm of expert, I don't even want to say expertise. What I specialize in is supporting people and people pleasers in embodying their inner villain and just discovering the most authentic and pleasurable life and self for themselves. And then I'm co-hosting this with Abby, who's amazing, and I'm going to let her introduce herself here.
Hello, everybody. I'm Abby. I'm super excited to be here with you. So thank you, Callie. I'm a women's intimacy coach. So I actually have a background in dance and performing arts, which kind of led me to like combining spirituality and dance. I've been a dance teacher literally since high school. So once I started, finding like the personal development path and the spiritual path, I got really interested in how movement can help us like develop ourselves and connect to ourselves. So I started hosting all these like embodiment workshops, and I started something called, well, I didn't start it. There's like chakra dance where you can express your chakras and clear energy. So I started hosting dancing through the chakras, which was really cool. And it showed me that I wanted to be a facilitator. So I kind of felt like I wanted to connect more with, like, I don't know, like taboo things and sexuality. So I ended up finding a training to become like a sex, love, relationship coach through the VITA program. And I did it, and it was amazing. So now I support women to connect to their pleasure and go from unfulfilled to turned on in and out of the bedroom. Yeah. All right. Sorry, slide. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about pleasure in more of an everyday sense. I know that oftentimes when we think of pleasure, we go straight to like sexual pleasure, which of course is a huge part of what pleasure is. And there's so many different forms of pleasure, but like Callie said earlier, we are going to be kind of diving more into like what feels really good in your body on an everyday basis so that you can be fulfilled and happy in your life. Keep that in mind. And then a little bit later, we'll be touching on like a bit more of sexual pleasure. So we're going to be going through some roadblocks that I see in my clients and myself. There's four main ones. So we'll go through those. The first one is, how can I feel pleasure if I don't even feel safe in my body? I'm going to give you a second to see where that lands. So I'm going to repeat it. How can I feel pleasure if I don't even feel safe in my body? Go ahead and just notice how that lands in your body. And if you'd like, you can pop it in the chat. Might feel a bit activating. Maybe it doesn't resonate. Resonates. Me too. Okay, awesome. We can go ahead and pop on to the next slide. So that was kind of a trick question because if you're lacking inner safety in the body, it's going to be really hard to open to pleasure because that creates a sense of closed offness. And when we're feeling unsafe, that's because our body is perceiving some sort of threat in our environment, even if there's not really like a threat present. So if we think back to like caveman times, where like in our little primal brains, there were present threats. Like you had predators out there, you had to go hunting, you had to be careful. You were constantly in a state of survival and like hunting, gathering like all your resources, right? And nowadays, like I'm in a nice, safe apartment. I don't have a lion like sitting there wanting to attack me, but there are emotional and like environmental things that can cause our bodies to feel like a threat. So, for example, an emotional threat. Like, I know a lot of people, when you get really close with another person and you start sharing and being vulnerable, that can create a lack of inner safety because you feel like that's a threat opening up. So the threat response really, like in the primal times, it was meant for short-term activation, meaning the threat would be there, you would see it, you would feel the threat in your body, and then it goes away. It like closes the chapter, you complete the stress cycle. But nowadays, so many of us are stuck in this like chronic activation because we have the world at our fingertips, literally on our phone screen, and it's very stimulating and it's really a lot for us to take in. So that also kind of creates a lack of safety in the body. And This topic, I feel like I could expand on forever, but we really are able to discern like what's an actual threat and what's not a threat. So when we feel unsafe, we develop mechanisms to keep us safe. Then you can slide. These are just a few examples. The list could go on, but we have numbness, the inner critic coming up, like negative self-talk. There's putting up walls, fear, rushing through uncomfortable situations, or just like rushing everything in general, and anxiety. And the reason that we start to feel these things is because they're like trying to be our little guardians coming in to make us feel safe, because our bodies are really intelligent. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to keep ourselves alive and surviving. So these really are mechanisms. And you can slide. These things are trying to protect us and work for us. It's really easy to be like, I'm feeling my inner critic again. I just want to push it away. But when we can bring a little bit of acceptance to it and just know that it's just trying to protect you, I feel like feels very easeful on the body, and you can kind of relax and start to feel a bit of inner safety. We can go to next. So when we build a foundation of inner safety, we communicate to our defense mechanisms that they can now ease up, which allows us to open. It's like, I know a common phrase is like, I have my walls up when it comes to love, or when it comes to really anything, like even being outgoing. The more that we build inner safety, the lower the walls can get, and the more they start to melt. And then like your true self gets to come through, which means you get to be open. And when you're open, then you can start to experience more pleasure. So how do we build inner safety, and what does that even feel like? You can slide. I'm going to ask you first before I go into this, but when do you feel the most safe? Maybe it's in a certain environment, maybe it's at a certain time, or it could be like with a certain person. So if you'd like to, you can pop it in the chat. I feel like when I feel the most safe, it's when I'm at home with my cat and we're like snuggling, and it just feels so good. In the shower, yes, agree. And with a few particular friends. Cuddling with my dog on the couch, yes. Laying alone in the sun, that feels so good to me too. And if you want to take a moment, yes, dancing. I love dancing. If you want to take a moment to notice, how does safety feel in your body? Maybe it's a sensation in one area of your body. Maybe it's something that you feel overall. I know that for myself. I feel a very like warm groundedness in my gut. It's like, oh, everything feels right. The world is okay. So if you'd like, you can take a deep breath and just notice where safety feels good in your body. And again, if you'd like, you can put it in the chat. Feels glowy and warm. I love it. All right. My heart feels outside of my body. Ooh, I love that. That sounds really cool. Okay, beautiful. So we can go ahead and pop on to the next slide. So these are 7 of my favorite ways to build inner safety. There are some really amazing practices that I know Callie shares a lot of. And those are amazing. And there's also like really easy things like you can do while you're going about your day. So the first one is orienting to your environment. We actually did this with Callie with like our scan of the room in the beginning of this. So I love orienting to the environment because it gets rid of like the unknown. You're letting your body know like, okay, there's no present threats for me. And when you feel safe in your environment, it's going to be easy for you to feel safe in the body. And if you have a pen and paper, maybe you want to write these down if it feels good, because I know it can kind of be like a lot of detail. So really scanning the environment, noticing how you feel, and just letting your body know, okay, there's no like wild animal coming after me right now. I'm going to be okay. Another way to build inner safety is tuning in to how your body is feeling in the present moment and just allowing yourself to be. I know there's so many times when we're anxious or sad and our immediate response is like, I want to change it. This doesn't feel good. I need to get out of it. And it's like, it just creates so much more resistance and like turmoil. But next time you feel like an emotion, whether it feels good in your body or it feels a bit uncomfortable, just see if you can let it be. Like, I'm feeling a little anxious right now. And that's okay. I don't have to try to change it. This really builds a sense of inner trust. And when you trust yourself, you feel more safe. Self-compassion is huge. I feel like when I got into this work, I didn't know how big self-compassion would be. Like, I always kind of swept it under the rug. Like, I'm tough. Yeah, whatever. But self-compassion is huge. So that also goes with just allowing yourself to be in the present moment. Maybe you come up with a self-compassion mantra for when you're starting to feel unsafe or stressed or just overactivated, just allowing yourself to know it's okay to be this way. I'm all good as is, and I can love myself through it. Meeting your own needs is another big one that also builds that sense of trust. So whether it's like physical survival needs or emotional needs, taking the steps that you need to in order to really take care of yourself. Okay, how are we feeling? I'm going to just like give everyone a second to take a breath on that. Kind of a lot of info. If it feels good, you can move it around. All right. So being outwardly resourced, this is how I think about it. So I love to go to music festivals. And when you go to something like that, it's like a big day. It's usually, for whatever reason, like 105 degrees out. And there's things that you need to bring to make sure you have a good experience and that you feel good and you're healthy. So like when I go, I make sure I have resources like earplugs to protect my ears, plenty of water to keep me hydrated, maybe a little snack, like you're doing a lot of dancing, and even like a portable phone charger in case I need to use my phone if I get lost or anything happens. So also like going on a hike, maybe you bring snacks, you bring extra water, like literally basic survival things so that you can have the best experience possible. And then being resourced in the body, this is more like emotional resource, maybe things that aren't quite as tangible. But for example, if you do a practice where you feel really safe, you can like lock that in at some point in your body. And it's kind of like storing notes in your body. You can always go back and refer to them. So I love resourcing inner safety. I love resourcing pleasure. I love resourcing just like a feeling of groundedness, that when I begin to feel unsafe, I can just tune back into that if it's available to me. And then last but certainly not least, we have boundaries with yourself and with others. We love boundaries to keep us feeling safe and supported. All right. So inner safety allows us to be brave and open to the pleasure we desire. So if I feel really safe in my apartment with my cat, if I spend a year in my apartment with my cat every day, just because that's the only place I feel safe, I'm going to start to get bored. The reason that we build inner safety and give it to ourselves as a resource is so that we can build the bravery to go out and like really live our life, to do the things that we truly desire to do. And what's amazing about pleasure is that it builds our nervous system's resilience to stress and expands your window of tolerance. So while we're on the topic of pleasure and inner safety and feeling good, we're not doing this to try to feel good like 24/7, even though that'd be awesome, right? Like life throws us curveballs, things happen and things can feel uncomfortable, but the more inner safety that you can build and the more pleasure you can connect to, it's just expanding really like your capacity to take on whatever you need to take on. It allows you to move through life a lot more gracefully with self-compassion without getting like, I'm all out of whack. So when we maintain inner safety, or in order to maintain inner safety when really opening to pleasure, it's so, so important to go slow, because even going too quickly with something that feels good, it can again throw our bodies out of whack, throw our nervous systems out of whack. So I always recommend just trying to open to 1 to 2% more pleasure a day, because that's very easeful on your system. We're in it like for the long run. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We do not want to overload ourselves. And I've been there, I've done that, and it was a whole experience. So trust me, just go slow, because you're building trust with you're building trust with your body and yourself over time. So take time and just give yourself space to be. Okay, I'm gonna pass it on over to Callie.
Okay, so where do I begin with this? So we're gonna touch on pendulation and the free state as it relates to like pleasure. So the free state happens when there's a sensational overwhelm in the body. So it happens when let's say you're in a subway car and some guy's acting really weird, you know, like everyone knows what I'm talking about, that guy that you're just like looking at the corner of your eye and you're like, okay, and something happens, he starts approaching you and you feel a desire to run, a desire to fight, a desire to scream, all at the same time. When there's sensational overwhelm in that sense, the body will just go into freeze. It goes into a collapse state because there's just too many things happening at one time. This can also happen on like, so normally we think of sensational overwhelm as like a negative, people always say negative emotions, which I really don't like that term, like anger and sadness and discomfort, but it can actually happen with any kind of sensational overwhelm, including pleasure. So that's why when we're working with pleasure, we want to make sure to like create a container for the pleasure, like we did at the beginning. And like Abby said, like little by little, very slowly, starting to incorporate pleasure and feeling good into our lives, because, you know, like I said, my background is Tantra, and a big part of Tantra is the catharsis model, where they're trying to like get you to this state where you're like orgasming and like having just so much pleasure. But the thing is, a lot of us, that's actually really overwhelming, not even like in a sexual way, just like being so present can be overwhelming for many of our bodies. And so we want to do this work in a way where we're not creating that sensational overwhelm, and we're not going into freeze. Freeze has a physiology of bracing. So if you think about really actually most sympathetic arousal and activation has a physiology of bracing, but freeze specifically has this physiology, this postural sensation of bracing. If you think I'm like throwing like a ball at your face, like a softball, if you imagine that and notice what happens in your body, like my stomach braces, like your viscera, your organs, the stuff, that braces, the muscles, everything braces. So there's this physiology, this posture of bracing, and the body starts to get really, the body starts to get really, like comfortable in that posture. Our bodies are really intelligent, and they're constantly adapting our bodies to the optimal what they believe our bodies believe are the optimal, you know, muscle distribution and everything for what we spend the most time doing. So if we spend a lot of time bracing, our body gets really good at bracing. And so when we start to open, because pleasure and receiving pleasure has this physiology of openness. Like if you think of like any kind of like, if I'm just thinking of something pleasurable, I like kind of go like, oh, like that sounds nice. There's an openness that happens, and a softening. So that's another reason why with this work, we just want to move slow, because we're going from maybe bracing to opening. And if we go too fast, the body doesn't like moving fast. We want to move slow, so that it doesn't feel like too much. Okay. Last point is pendulating with pleasure. So at the beginning, we did a really short pendulation practice where we were feeling something good in our bodies, and then we were noticing something outside of us that's kind of more neutral. And then if we had more time, we could have gone back and forth to feeling that good feeling and then noticing and orienting in our space. So the idea with that is that when you start this, like I said, and my background is Tantra, they're like wanting you to just be like full pleasure goddess day one. We're not going for that. We're going for like the Costco sampler of pleasure. Like, oh, okay, little sample. I have my warm tea. Yes, love sample. Like feeling the sunlight on your face for 30 seconds or even less. Ah, sample. We're not going for Thanksgiving turkey. That's not how the body works. The body moves slow. And like I said, we don't want to overwhelm it too. And so we want to create that little container with the pendulation, or just the little Costco samples. And I'm going to hand it back to Abby right now.
Yes, we love the Costco samples, the sample surfing. But for real, I can't stress enough going slow. Amazing. Okay, roadblock number two. I'm too stressed to even think about pleasure. So again, I'm gonna let you feel into where that lands in the body. I'm just gonna repeat it. I'm too stressed to even think about pleasure. And just taking a moment to notice if that activates anything, if you resonate, and how it feels. It feels like constriction and lack of time. I completely agree. Like, I feel like when I say that, I can feel my shoulders up at my ears. I'm like, okay. But the good thing is we are gonna teach you how to manage this. So when we experience stress, oh, full blown wall along the front of my body. Yeah, I definitely feel that too. Okay. When we experience stress, finding pleasure in our everyday lives is often the last thing we think about. So obviously, like when you're really stressed with work or family things going on, you're not necessarily like, let me take 5 minutes right now to go lay in the sun, or let me do a self-soothing exercise. And stress can feel super heavy, dense, tense in the body, which makes it hard to enjoy those pleasurable experiences. The good news is that we can use pleasure to reduce stress, and we can reduce stress to be able to experience more pleasure. So we can really come at it from both angles, which I feel is very nourishing for the body. It's like you're using two things to work together. So when we relieve stress, a lot of times it's really just allowing that tension to melt.
Oopsie, I think she got frozen. Okay. Well, let's see if I can continue this myself. Okay. I'm going to go to the next. Oh, perfect. Okay. The next slide is mine. We can just wait for her to come back on. And until then, I'll talk about this. So, I think Abby was gonna originally talk here about like stress cycles. And like she mentioned at the beginning, like the reason that we feel, well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons that we might feel like we're not available to pleasure is because we have this like chronic activation that happens when we don't complete the stress cycle. So she mentioned at the beginning, like we have the kind of like in caveman times, how we would have the stressor, the threat, and then we would deal with the stress cycle, but then it would end and we would go on with our day. Whereas nowadays, a lot of us, I feel like everybody is in a pretty chronic stress state. Like even the people I know that are like super deep into somatics, like everyone, just the way that we live, a lot of us are experiencing chronic stress states. But there are ways to complete some of those stress cycles so that you can just the completion of the stress cycle is so good for your body. And then from there, you're able to move back into deactivation. So this is a really fast review of the stress cycle. I'm referring to a diagram here for those of you listening on the audio. So we see a stressor, we sense some kind of threat, and our body goes into a state where we're looking around. It's like orientation, but it's threat-based orientation, where we're looking around our space for potential threats and where is it coming from, so on, like evaluation. And then from there, we start to move into sympathetic arousal, which if you're familiar with the nervous system, it's like the sympathetic nervous system. So it's in charge of fight or flight. It's a lot of energy, adrenaline, cortisol starts to move through your body. You've been talking about it. I'm like, whoo, feeling. This could look like your breath speeding up, your palms might get sweaty. Your body is essentially preparing you to take a big action. So from there, you have adrenaline, we have a ton of energy. And at this point, something, so we have all this activation and energy in the body, and then the body wants to metabolize it somehow. So that looks like either running away, it looks like screaming, fighting, whatever it is, using that huge surge of energy to address the threat. And then, or there you realize that the threat is not, you know, maybe it's a tiger and you see it come and then it goes away. So we never actually used that, that energy. We didn't necessarily metabolize the energy. So from there, we move back into the parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest nervous system. So it's, we've been activated and now we're moving into deactivation, which activation can happen really fast. Deactivation, if you think of like someone skydiving, how it's like, ooh, it's kind of this like slow, ooh, like that. And then we return to a calm state. So if you think of like, I see this a lot as a yoga teacher at the end of class in Shavasana. Like I hear my client's stomach like gurgle, and that tells me that they've moved into the parasympathetic because we have the digestion coming back online. Or we go into, we like never metabolize this and we just like, it says long-term consequences that can look like IBS. It can look like we can like really have a whole nother workshop on what happens when you don't metabolize the response. And I think many of us know what that feels like. But there's ways to metabolize it. In animals, it usually looks like shaking. And so, especially if they've, like I said, you either expend the energy in that explosive movement of fight or flight, or if they've gone into freeze, which happens, when they come out, you'll see like a shaking. And it's not like the shaking we do when we're like, oh, shaking, yay. It's like, it's funky looking. It's like, it looks like a transformation is happening. If you look up like actual shaking, and it happens in humans too, we normally just shut that responds down though. And they found that animals that are transported, if they don't shake after they're transported, they usually die. So it's like really important for animals to have this response. And then in humans, like let's say that we see a tiger, our hands get sweaty, we move it to activation, and then it goes away. It's really important for us to celebrate. Yay, it's called cronking. They actually have a name for it in somatics. It's when you use that activation and you get it out through celebration. So celebrating is really, really fun and really important. While we were planning this, Abby mentioned like graduations and job interviews. When you get the job, like there's been this like period of stress, and it's so important to like woo, to get that out. And so that's the stress cycle. You can do completion of the stress cycle through somatic experiencing, either on your own or with a practitioner. But we won't go into that right now. And then we're kind of short on time, Abby. So maybe we'll do the next practices and we just finish with the lecture.
Perfect. I'm back. I don't know what happened. I got like booted, so I'm on my phone now.
It looked like it froze.
Yeah, that was, it just like shut down, but that's okay.
Oh, that's weird.
We're
here.
Yes, we made
one
it.
One last note is basking. So basking is something that's, like I mentioned, just going back to that physiology of openness. Like if you think about basking in the sun, it's something all animals of all species do, even snakes. And it's this physiology of openness, and it's super resourceful.
Love it. Okay, so now that we've talked about completing the stress cycle, stress relief, stuff like that, we are able to be more present, like the less stress we have. Obviously, if you're stressing about something and you're trying to be in the present moment, it's really hard because there's a lot happening in the head. Your body feels braced, you're thinking about it, right? But when we can relieve that stress and allow ourselves to be present, our bodies can really open to sensation and obviously new experiences, which we love. And I love combining play and pleasure because it really creates a sense of openness. So the more that you can be present, the more our sense of play starts to come in and, you know, we can really express that. So that's another great thing to give yourself space from stress. And we can slide. Okay, I call this the presence to pleasure pipeline. So if you're listening to the audio recording, we have presence to play to pleasure. And you can slide. So like we just said, presence really allows us to access different parts of ourselves and tune into our bodies, which allows us to express ourselves more. And the more present that we are, the more we create space for play to come in. We can slide. So I love just the idea of play. I love how it feels because to me, it gives off this energy of like flirtation. I'm gonna flirt with life. I'm gonna flirt with the universe and myself. And that is radiant. Like it's magnetic and it's extremely, extremely heart opening. Another thing I love about play is that it connects us to our inner child, and like that cute little inner child gets to come out and experience that curiosity and wonder and awe. And it's just overall a sense of elevated energy, which again is super, super opening to the body. And then we have pleasure. So play does create that sense of heart opening for pleasure to now come in and be felt. And we know that pleasure is amazing for the nervous system. You build more capacity for feeling good and it becomes a resource in the body. And I definitely feel that pleasure experienced through play is super authentic. It's like you at your core playing and creating this pleasurable experience. And slide. So I'll just let you think about this. I know we're a little short on time. So what are times you feel the most present and how can you bring more of that into your everyday life? Again, little Costco sample size, dispersing it throughout the day. Yummy little snacks. All right. I was going to go into an exploration of play practice. We're going to skip it for now, but I encourage you, just when you have time or next time you're playing, just notice in your body how play creates a sense of openness when you're feeling playful and giddy and good. All right. Roadblock number three, I feel guilty receiving pleasure. So I know this is a really common one, and this is a journey for me. So again, notice how that lands in your body. I feel guilty receiving pleasure. Whew. All right. For me, it makes me like a little anxious in the belly. Right, we can pop on to the next. Whoops. There we go. So guilt can stop us from accepting pleasure. And why would we want to stop something that is really good for us and feels good? Like, we create this resistance to it. And that's because it's super rare that someone grows up being taught to take time for pleasure and rest, which can really create like a sense of guilt, or like you don't deserve it, or you're inadequate when it comes to it, because you haven't been taught that it's okay to experience pleasure. And a lot of us are in the same boat with that, and that's okay. So many people, sometimes me included, we feel guilty about taking time to do pleasurable things, whether it's small things like having a relaxing bath, laying on the beach, or just sitting in a park. We come up with all these things of like why we shouldn't experience that. You can slide. And the list goes on of some more reasons that guilt can stop us from accepting pleasure. But a couple examples are capitalism, religion, maybe not all religions, productivity, boss babying too hard. You're like in the hustle and you're getting all the results and you don't want to take time to stop because you feel like if you stop, then you're going to lose momentum, which... not true. And I learned that the hard way. Guilt tripping in childhood. Maybe you had a parent that would be like, look at everything I've done for you. I've worked so hard for you. So you are not going to just sit on the couch right now and binge watch Disney Channel. When like you as a kid, you were just like, I'm just out here trying to relax and like be in my pleasure. But the parent makes it not okay from their own experience, right? We have, as a society, limiting beliefs around success and hustle and what success looks like, that you have to like work yourself to death and then like somehow you've made it. Corporate culture. I'm not a corporate girly. I don't know if I ever could be. I think I would just fail at that. But like having to go to the office every day and present yourself in a very professional corporate way, and like that's how you're interacting. You're there from 9 to 5, there's not a whole lot of time for like pleasure and feeling yourself to come in. And you feel like you need to finish everything at work. It creates a sense of urgency. And we kind of touched on this, the more you work, the stronger you are mentality. And I'm going to pass it on to Callie.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking that, we had some more sections prepared, but in the name of feeling good, I'd rather it not feel crunched. So we're gonna skip ahead to one of the, like the main practices that we wanted to offer. Oh wait, literally perfect. I was about to talk about the resource of time.
Yes.
Which is like what we're gonna bring in right now. Time is a actual resource. It's so good for your nervous system. If you think about what Abby said at the beginning, I think it was roadblock two. I'm too stressed to feel pleasure. There's usually this like constriction of time, lack of time. The resource of time is spacious and expansive and delicious. And we're going to do that right now because I felt that constriction. So we're going to skip.
Yes.
And we're going to move to the main course today. This is like our, you know, the big Costco sample where you're like, oh, it's like a whole hot dog. That's the pleasure list. So we are gonna allow you to do this one on your own, but just want to introduce the idea here. So what you can do is you can take a piece of paper and fold it hot dog style. Am I craving hot dogs right now? I'm like talking a lot about hot dogs. I am ovulating. A little bit hot dog style. I might have to cut that out. And on the top of one side, right, high energy, and on the top of the other, right, low energy. And this is for you, a list of things to do that feel good for you, that give you some kind of pleasure, that are high energy when you have energy to, you know, maybe like leave your house or call a friend or do something that requires a certain level of energy. And then low energy would be maybe like taking a bath or like going out on your patio with a cup of tea or watching, like get really specific, like super specific. And then this will be what you'll be able to reference when you're having those times where, I know for myself, sometimes I'll just scroll on my phone because I'm like, well, I have half an hour. I don't really know what to do with this time. So when you find yourself in that spaciousness, in that resource of time, or you can create it for yourself, this is what you can refer to, this list, and get really, really specific. So for me, like high energy is like going to this one specific beach near my house, bringing a blanket, bringing my dog, bringing my speaker, and reading a book. So I have like certain like things I need to prepare before I go. It's definitely high energy. For me, another high energy thing, which is kind of questionably high energy, maybe it's more low energy, but it's going to a Korean spa near my house and taking a book. A low energy for me is like an Epsom salt bath. So those are just ideas. You can really flesh out the list. I know Abby had some like examples of high energy, low energy as well.
Yes, I love like high energy dancing, going out with friends, low energy basking. We love basking, just reading a book in bed or just having like a really nice hot vanilla latte, like while I sit outside. Love that.
You make that at home?
I should, but I'd be out there buying like the $8 lattes.
Well, I feel like that's like part of the experience though.
Yes, it is. Like I just want it like ready at my fingertips.
Yeah. So you can flesh out this list for yourself. And in the comments of like the podcast or the YouTube video, you can add what feels good for you. And then I'm going to wrap with our offerings, and then we'll do Alex, if you want Alexandra's like Q&A. So like no pressure, but okay. So for me, if you'd like to keep working with me, I have Venom, which is an on-demand self-paced course. This one's more focused on my traditional like niche of work, which is healing from people pleasing. It's like villains, a lot of parts work and embodiment practices to help you explore anger, boundaries, and more through a somatic lens that is completely on demand. One sec, I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless you.
Thank you, excuse me. And then another thing is a Journey to Paradise retreat in June in the Sequoias of California. This one is actually, the theme of the retreat is embodied pleasure and relaxation. So if you really connect with this topic, it might be a good option for you. It's in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful location on this ranch with glamping tents and glass houses. And we have like one glamping spot left and two glass houses left. So probably going to sell out soon, but that's also an option. And then I know Abby has a few offerings as well.
Yes. So right now I'm doing like one-on-one 60 minute. They're what I call breakthrough sessions, because you can do like one at a time. You can come take time to really go deep on what it is that you want to work on in the realm of relationships, intimacy, even this, like experiencing your own pleasure, confidence. And we do a lot of desire mapping, like really getting down in the nitty-gritty and figuring out what is it that you actually want for yourself. We do a lot of somatics, embodiment exercises, and it's a really great way to explore yourself and come out of it with, again, like Costco samples of things that you can be doing in your everyday life to have what it is that you desire. So I love these. And again, because it's like a breakthrough session, it's a good thing to see, like, is coaching right for you before you sign up for a whole entire thing? So you can decide if you like it or not. And I love it. So yeah, you can find that on my Instagram or TikTok in the bio at @Abby_Kurtz. Callie, I think you're muted.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just saying, I'll put all the links in the captions of everything. And then, Alexandra, literally no pressure, but if you have any questions at all, you can let us know, either got me off of mute or on the chat. And if not, then we'll wrap.
I have like a comment and a question, but I really liked the slowing down and like the image of like 1 to 2%, because I find that like it's so easy to feel like you need to like have all the pleasure right now. But just recently I went to my first contact improv like dance class, and it was amazing. I was really nervous, but I like forced myself to do it, and by the end of it I was just like so overstimulated that like people were like telling me their name and I like couldn't even remember their name. I wasn't present at all. I had to like get out of there pretty quick and like just walk the hour home because I was just so overstimulated. So it was just like it was just a very direct example that I experienced just recently where like my nervous system was just like not having it and it was just too much all at once. So like, yeah, thank you for that. Just to implement just a little bit every day instead of like having to have my whole cake and like having a stomach ache after like the repercussions.
Yes. That was a really good example. I felt that in like going to ecstatic dance too. Mm-hmm. It's like so much. And I feel like while you're there, like I've had to tell myself like, okay, go sit out for a second and like go in time out just for a moment. So that was a great example. Thanks for sharing that.
And I think one question that came up was what was like what was the like sticky stuff that came up for you, and how did you move through it when you first started to implement somatics in your everyday? Because it's like one to be a beginner and learn about it and implement it, and then it's another to like really like submerge yourself on it, like in it in a daily basis.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if Callie, you wanna.
I feel like for somatics, there's obviously like, so, as a like a practitioner who sells things on the internet, mm-hmm. I like package them into videos, right? So I'm like, here's this practice, buy this course. Like, we want to make it like sellable and digestible, both for the sake of like the people watching the videos on the internet, and also selling courses. And so there's a packaging that happens with like somatic practices, like, oh, do this practice and you'll get XYZ. But I think like what I've learned after doing this for a while is like, it's honestly a lifestyle. I almost cringe saying that because I feel like I'm like one of the Monet people that's like, it's a lifestyle. But it really is, because I feel like the main thing is just being connected to your body and like becoming really familiar with like your sensations, and then like how do I tench my body, and just like developing a relationship with your body of like communication of like, how are we doing here? Okay, I'm feeling, like you said, I'm feeling really overwhelmed and overstimulated right now. Like, okay, what do I need? A walk. I want to walk. Okay, walking. And just like, it's like an unfolding that happens, and it's constantly changing. So it's not like, no, not yet. 2 more minutes. It's not like I do the thing and then I'm like fixed forever. It's like, it's just like your body is like an animal. It's an animal body. So it's constantly going to have different needs at different stages and different stages of your cycle and different times of your life and everything. So it's just like creating like a feedback system with your body. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's like a It's what is it? A marathon, not a race, or is that the forget the saying? But yeah.
Totally, yeah. Thank you for the
Thank you.
question. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
And then that'll be all. And yeah, if you have any questions, let us know. And thanks, Abby, for co-hosting.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Okay, I'm going to stop my share and then I'm going to press end. Have a great rest of your guys' week.
Thank you.
Here. That's all for today for the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you so much for listening. These episodes do come out pretty sporadically, so if you'd like to be notified each time a new episode comes out, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can always follow my journey along, which I always post when a new episode comes out on my social media, TikTok and Instagram, at Kelly Klug Yoga. And feel free to keep in touch. You can also check out my website at kellyklugyoga.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.